All right, let's do this. Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 640. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I thought I'd start off tonight with an impression. So here we go. I'm a silent protagonist.
Oh, all right. I'm going to hold off. We're going to get into that very shortly. Earl is here.
I'm sorry. I just over that. I will just move on. I'm here. That was a good one.
Jeff is here as well.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Is this like an exoprimal thing?
Yes. So let's just get into it. Exoprimal, you create a character, and that character has no voice. It's like, you know, as Toadie said, silent protagonist. Except they have like expressions. And people have conversations with your character, and it's not, you're not always in first person, so it's not even like you could be talking. Like, your character is displayed as a third person character, part of a team,
and everyone else on the team is like super like expressive and super talkative.
Yes, like personality in abundance.
And I mean, to even go back further, they introduce it in the worst way possible, because like you create this character, then they have you sit in for an interview where it's just you staring at your character not saying anything, and like the game responding like you said stuff. It is so weird. It is like, yes, because the character, like his teammates, very personable, very energetic, and then like he shows up. Like, I think the end of the tutorial mission, like your ship crashes down and you have to go retrieve something, and you come back and like your team's like, how the hell did you survive that? And the guy just looks all goofy, and I'm like, this is so weird.
The only thing I could think of when he was doing it is it's like in Tears of the Kingdom when Link is talking to people and like they'll ask him a question and then he'll like wave his arms once.
Yes,
but and then and they'll act like he just said like
a bunch of words.
Yeah,
yeah. This is not sounding that weird to me. Oh my god!
But the thing about in Tears of the Kingdom is most of the other characters aren't like, it's just text. Like, there's not like voice. Like, these people are like talking at you for like 10 minutes, and your response is nothing.
And it's like, but like with a goofy face, like you've responded or something.
He's responded, like he's responsive, but he doesn't talk. Yes. And like they focus on your character, which is the weird part.
And they could have very easily like just done like one or two like a male voice and a female voice, and just stuck it in there. And they're like, "No, we're not going to do anything."
Yeah, especially since the game does. Like, I kind of like the personality of the game. Like, the characters are fun. And you could have made like this fun character.
And honestly, to Toddy's point, I thought something was wrong with my game. Because I'm like, where's the option for the voices? I'm like, did I miss it? Because I was like, I assume, like, you do know it's character creation, that they did give options. Like, okay, maybe you just get, like, two for each or something like that. But I thought you get options. Like, no. Just a silent protagonist.
In a game where all the characters have, like, oversized personalities. So weird.
Yes. Even the bad guy. Yeah. That AI has more personality than you do. Creepy as it may be.
Yeah. And it's interesting that AI, like, I thought its dialogue was basically the same each time, but it changes, like, match to match to be like, it'll reference your previous match. You did well in the airport area last time. We're now going to go to the downtown area. Like, and it's like, I did play in the airport area and we won that match, or like your failures in the museum district. Like, it's like, just, it's like a neat little touch that like, oh yeah, that did just happen. Which is weird, 'cause the game has like these neat little touches, but it is just one Just one mode.
One mode over and over and over again.
And like there's little variations on it. Not many, but there's like little variations.
Come on, there's the one where you kill the dinosaurs, and then there's the ones where you kill the dinosaurs in a specific direction.
Yes.
And then there's the other one where you stand next to an object and kill dinosaurs.
Yeah, and there did we get the area defense one? Did we get one of those? Yeah, so
we got two in a row.
Okay. And then there's like the final missions. So basically, like you go through these, it's like 3, 4, 5, can depend on the type of match. Different missions. You're racing against another team to get them done faster. And then if you get to the final mission, if you did them faster, you get like a slight time boost. To then do whatever that final mission is. And you compete head to head in that one where you can actually kill them. I don't know. I had fun with you guys playing it, and I've been playing it a bunch myself. It's enjoyable enough. I think the exosuits are like they're varied enough, and they can be fun.
It took me a while to find one that I liked. I think in our last match, I finally found the guy who drops the shield and has the minigun.
Krieger, yeah, that one's fun. Like he has like the dome shield and I think having and that's the other thing, right? Having a tank and having a support player, along with like regular assault characters, you kind of need them because if you don't have a healer, you're not able to hold on at the end. And the tanks are very useful for like shielding or providing like massive amounts of damage up front. I'm enjoying it. I'll play it again with you guys. I think
I'm playing now. It's fun to just kind of like just do some challenges and stuff like that.
The way the story is doled out is really weird.
That's the aspect of like making it the PvEVP thing.
Yeah,
it's like there's no single player content. But like it's story driven, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah, like because like you have this narrative, and then the missions actually as you progress will start to tie into what's going on in the story. Like, you'll at one point this guy Magnum, who he's in the tutorial, you'll team up with him and escort him to retrieve some stuff. There's another one. There's a boss battle, which I thought this one was neat, where you fight this Neo T-Rex, which is like basically it's like a souped up T-Rex that, as in all Capcom games, has like glowy bits on the side of it that if you hit that, it does extra damage.
So we are getting our Lost Planet.
Yeah, that's very much Lost Planet. Yes. You hit those spots and it does extra damage and they'll stop glowing if you do enough damage to them. But that one wasn't like a team of five fighting against it. It put both teams
together.
So it's a 10-man boss battle. Interesting.
That's fun.
It was
like a raid.
Yeah, it's like a raid. And that one could come up. So it happens in the story, but I've also gotten it twice more since then. So it'll throw you into it and you'll fight that a couple times. And that one's also neat because it doesn't take place in the generic city area. It takes place in this generic cyberspace arena. But it also has this Neo T-Rex can do different attacks on you. It can like spew, basically it vomits all over the floor, and that vomit is like acidic. So you need to get to a higher ledge, and there's these ledges that they'll appear and then they'll go dark. So you need to jump to a new ledge that has popped up. So you're doing like a little bit of platforming in them. or you're hiding behind these large outcroppings because it's doing this big laser blast, or there's this one where it like creates a black hole and sucks the players in. So you want to get behind something so you don't get sucked into it. So there's like some neat little strategies, and then you're playing with 10 people, so it's mayhem. Like it, and it's not just the T-Rex, like they're dropping raptors and snipersauruses.
Yeah, there we go. I wanted to make sure you got that in.
Yeah. It's like I don't even know what type of dinosaur you'd consider it, but basically for whatever reason it can spawn these purple orbs over it and it'll shoot them at you. And they're called Neo snipers or something like that. There's also gas dinosaurs where they have big gas bags on them, and if they're kind of like in Halo, there's the grunts that'll charge you with the grenades.
Yeah.
So basically it's like that. You want to take them out before they get near you, because if they get near you, they'll explode and kill you. So you want to blow them out far. But you can blow them up and it'll do massive damage to like the regular raptors. Yeah. I just came across, I was telling Earl before everybody else kind of got on the call tonight, that there's now stealth raptors.
Oh.
They're invisible, and then they like hop out. The game, the way we were playing it, it was like telling you, oh, you have to clear 120 raptors and then six of the flying dinosaurs. They never popped up as an enemy you had to clear, but they popped up as like support for like a Carnosaur, which is like the mini T-Rex. So like, you're trying to fight this big dinosaur that can do massive damage to you, and you have these raptors popping out of nowhere because they can go invisible. So that was interesting. It is not a game I would pay. Not a game I would pay $30 for.
It's not $30 worth of content.
No, it seems more like a free to play game to me.
Yeah,
but is perfect for Game Pass. Like, this is not a game I think any of us would have tried at this point in time if it wasn't on Game Pass. But
yep.
Plays well enough.
Yeah, I mean the timing is perfect too. There's kind of like a gaming hole that it can just fit right now. Yeah,
like Diablo, people are waiting for like season one to start, or you've fallen off of it. Pikmin's not out, but that's not really a multiplayer game. So yeah, it's like kind of perfectly timed to just capture a multiplayer base of people here in the summer. Smart timing for Capcom. Also read this headline on True Trophies. Exoprimal debut gets 97% more players on Game Pass than PS5, PS4. It does not. Oh, okay. It goes in. There were. Let's see. Here we go. Gameplay chart. 3.3 million people played it. Looks like. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But 97% of them are on Xbox or Game Pass. I think you can also play it on PC. So I don't know where Capcom's making their money. I hope Microsoft paid them
That's probably it. That's probably all there is.
But considering that they're not making any money off of people buying this game, but I'm glad it is out there. Shooting dinosaurs is fun.
That should be on the back of the box.
Yeah.
So we were remiss if we did not, mention that Walt is pro dinosaurs and thinks the game should be dinosaurs hunting humans.
Yes, he did enjoy. I think he did get to be a dinosaur at one point, and he enjoyed that part. we didn't mention that. That is
the Dominator.
Yeah, it allows you to summon a dinosaur and then you take control of that dinosaur.
You get to choose which one it is?
No, so the game chooses which one for you based on how far behind you are.
Oh, interesting.
So if you get a Carnosaur, you're like right there. Like you're right within range of them. Or because they also get one, you're in the lead. Or you can get a Triceratops, which is the next up. And I think that is, you have to be 5 seconds behind it's either 5 seconds or 10% behind. And then a T-Rex if you are 10 seconds or 20% behind.
So the match we actually won, we were behind because you were a Triceratops.
Oh, we did win that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we came from behind and won. So it does even it out. Like it does help to equalize if you're falling behind. It was nice that we got a win though. That was fun.
Yeah,
I was worried about like Capcom multiplayer games. I'm like, I feel like I'm playing against people in like Japan who play this game 20 hours a day and are always infinitely better at it than I am.
There were people that were already like had already finished the game. You know, by the end of Friday when it came out.
But because like in this particular game, like there are advantages for like leveling up your character and you get like bonuses, like stuff unlocks faster and things reload quicker, and like by upgrading you actually have advantages.
Yeah, like I think Earl and I were playing this exosuit Barrage. It's like the grenade guy.
Yeah.
My grenade guy now has 10 shots. Like, I think the base is like 6. So, like, I upgraded the module for extra ammo. So now, like, I don't have to reload. And, like, the reload on Barrage is actually pretty. It's not super quick. Like, it's not terrible, but it's not instant either. So, like, I could fire 10 shots as opposed to the base level of 6. So, yeah, if you're going up against people that have leveled up, like you liked playing Krieger, Tony, like you can upgrade your shield so it has extra damage, like it protects mm-hmm. against extra damage. You can upgrade your minigun so it does more damage, or it doesn't overheat as fast. It's like, yeah.
And then there's rigs that you eventually do unlock as well that are, you, I think, with this one for each of the three classes, tank, support, and assault. I think there's one additional thing that you don't start off with. Because I think one of the ones, the one that we ended up winning, we had somebody who had one of the advanced ones, didn't they?
Yeah, they had the Mer, I can never say it. It's the big sword, Mermase. Yeah, the one that we won, they had that one unlocked. You had to be level 30 to get them. Oh, it's fun. I like the personality behind it. And I think, Tony, I think you're right. Like, it's just the right time for it to come out because it's not really a whole lot else for us to play. And it's like, oh, we want to play something together. This works. You guys play anything else this week? I did not. So.
Oh, the big brand new game from last weekend. Jagged Alliance 3.
Oh, right. You did say that you might.
Thought he was full of shit.
I was. Why?
I just thought you were just leading to nowhere.
It's a turn-based strategy game.
Oh, you are leading to nowhere. Never mind.
Where you have a mercenary team. Like, it was made for me. Made in my honor. It's kind of. It's kind of interesting. The game has like two portions. There's like this real-time version where you're walking around the map. And as soon as you encounter an enemy, you get that like sequence that you have from, you'll probably notice it from XCOM, when you see an enemy and like they all dive for cover and then it switches into turn-based. I find it kind of awkward a little bit. in those moments, because you can like set up ambushes, you can like move your guys around in real time, but it's really hard to move four people simultaneously into good positions.
Yeah.
In real time. But once the turn-based part starts, it's kind of fun. So the basic premise of the game is they give you there's this place that's under siege. You're going in to like rescue the president and like save it from this militia that's taken everything over. So you're a mercenary. You're a person who hires mercenaries, and you have like $40,000 to start. And you have this like roster of mercenaries you can hire. So you hire your mercenaries, and they arrive in this place by boat, and then you start to clear it out. Now your mercenaries are all like contracted soldiers, so you have to pay them, and you have to keep paying them. And as you watch, your money goes down and down and down. And if you can't pay them, they leave. So the potential is there. I haven't had it happen yet, but the potential is there for you to run out of money and not be able to have any more mercenaries, which would suck. You can earn money. Like you could find like loot that gives you more money, and you can also like go and liberate diamond mines, which will give you like income. But the income is like so much smaller than the price it is to have like the actual good mercenaries. So most of the guys you hire suck. So it becomes a game of you trying to like have this like team of misfits accomplish missions. So you end up with a bunch of guys who are like really good at one thing and suck at everything else. Whereas in most games like this, you're trying to have like a well-balanced team where they can support one another, or whatever. And you're like, okay, this guy can only find landmines. That's like his only skill. I have a woman on my team who is awesome at like hacking and repairing things and literally can't do anything else. Like every time the combat starts, I just send her as far away from the enemies as possible. Like there's no point in you like being in sight range, because if you had to shoot at something, you wouldn't hit it ever. So it's kind of the opposite of what you would expect. And the funny part about the upgrade system is that it's kind of I guess compare it to like a Bethesda like Elder Scrolls game, where the mm-hmm. skills you get better at are the skills that you actually do. So
she's never going to get better.
She is never ever going to get better. She'll just get worse and worse, but she'll get better and better at like repairing stuff. And you know, since she's in the back, like she heals people. That's what I, you know. So she gets medical training by she wasn't good at it to start off, so I can only imagine some of the medical experiments she performed on people. But she's gotten better. So you kind of you end up with a squad of these mercenaries, and you move it around on this like grid. And as you progress, you can like hire other squads. You can have more than one squad moving around the map at a time. And you're trying to like clear the grid and like, you know, conquer the area away from the bad guys who've taken it over. It's fun. I'm enjoying it so far. Your characters all have like interesting personalities, and they're always making jokes. Some of the jokes aren't particularly appropriate, so the humor is kind of, you know, off at points. One of the more I guess controversial things, the game seems to really focus on like a downtrodden African nation, which kind of sucks. So there's a lot of like stereotyping in the storyline. It kind of, if you read descriptions of the game, it's kind of like doing it tongue in cheek. It doesn't seem very tongue in cheek. It just seems kind of like generic. And most of the stuff that happens in the storyline is pretty like generic as well. It's stuff you've seen before. And they kind of like pretend like it's more than that. It's not really. But the actual gameplay is fun. The gameplay is the attraction here.
Is there like a story around it all, or is
so,
it more That's more like straight tactics.
I mean, it's pretty much straight like conquering stuff. There is a story, like there are like small storylines within the world. Like for instance, there's this father whose son joined the baddies, and then you defeat him, and then he, you know, you could choose to kill him or let him go. And if you let him go, he gets captured and you have to go rescue him. So there are some things like that in there. There is an overarching story about the president of this nation has been captured, and it's actually his daughter who's hired you to go find him. I don't know where that story goes. Before what I've read in reviews so far, that story is not particularly compelling. So,
got it.
It's more about the gameplay here. So if you enjoy the gameplay, then you're in. But if you're looking for a story, it's not really a story based.
Got it.
Deal.
So I was looking at the imagery. I'm like, this kind of looks like it almost looks like the original Fallout games. Like,
it has that isometric.
Yeah.
Viewpoint. I mean, your characters level up. It is an RPG in that kind of sense. I think Jagged Alliance 1 and 2 were both very much like the original Fallout games.
Got it. All right. Well, that is out on PC.
Yep.
So, out there. Earl, did you play anything else this week?
I did finish Halo Infinite, and I don't know if you folks discussed this before. I was surprised that it ended on a cliffhanger of sorts. It felt like they were like, what am I trying to say? It felt like they were ready to, continue the story. Because the other day he says, we gotta go finish the fight. And I'm like, oh, okay, but,
heard that before.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was very, but I'm also like, but this is the final boss. The final boss who comes out of nowhere? Granted, it's that nowhere, but it's still very weird.
I do remember hearing that they canceled some, there was like single player stuff that they were working on. Like to come out eventually, but that was canceled as they were trying to get the multiplayer seasons and all that shit back on track. They seemingly have now. It seems like it's in a good place, but so.
How many people are actually playing? Like I see the season content stuff come out and they're like, oh, that's great. And I see another video and I'm like, okay, how many people are actually playing this?
I mean, I've not had any trouble finding matches, but I don't know. I'm trying to see. It's like there's normally a list of, here we go, popular Xbox games, July 16th. It was number 16 last week, so I don't know. I mean, it's right below Destiny 2, which we know has people playing it, and right below Overwatch 2, which also we know has people playing it. So it's probably fine. Has more people than Battlefield 2042. but Exoprimal in there at number 6. Yeah. So. That's you played it co-op, right, Earl?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Which I think I also mentioned, like, that game Curie was not designed for co-op, because it was pretty busted with what am I trying to say? It was pretty busted with how easy, so, like, my friend who played it single player kept on saying, like, oh no, this part is really, like, this part's gonna get you. And then we played and it's like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, you guys just like, were you playing on legendary, heroic?
Heroic.
Okay, so like,
I also didn't realize how many people, because like, we beat the game and you know, like, how they pop up like a rare achievement. And it's like, we beat the game, and it's like 9.5% of the people who played the game have beaten it. Like, oh, I mean, I guess it also makes sense as it is a very multiplayer-centric game. But I thought more people beat the campaign than they did, so that's on me.
Yeah, that's weird. What was the achievement percentage on the armor?
I think it was around, because I think Rhea's under 10%. So
wow,
it was like 9.52, I think, for beating the game. Not even on any difficulty, just beating the game. And then like it would kind of, and it's also kind of funny. I mean, it's whatever. Like, there's an achievement for beating the game, and then there's like an achievement for like, oh yeah, she sat through the final cutscene. Here's another achievement for you. I'm like, okay.
Hey, there. There used to be achievements like that. It was like, you know, you beat the game, you get an achievement, and then if you sit through the credits, like, you would pop one.
Because, like, yeah, you know, like, it pops up, we beat it on heroic, so you get a heroic and normal and easy, and then, like, once beating the game, and then it's like, yeah, then we sat through the cutscene, because, like I said, it does, and, like, it's basically like, oh, what are you going to do now? We're going to finish the fight. And part of it is, like, yes, they're going to go and clean up the open world and stuff like that. But I'm also like, they also teased the another villain. But yeah, it's, I mean, again, a really fun game. I don't think it's my favorite campaign because it's not. It's, I mean, to their credit, they do kind of have those grand hero stages. Like at some point, especially the end game. Like the end game, I think was like an hour and a half of just like, you're gonna get Shepard through this this massive stage and boss battles and stuff like that. And to be fair, I think the beginning of the game was like that as well. It's like the middle of the game where it's like, you can do whatever you want now.
But yeah, the middle of the game, like, really just, like, because, like, gives you, like, those objectives you have to go out and do, like,
yeah,
go here, here, and here, but then it's way more scripted at the end where it's a, you go here and it's, like, a big, giant battle and you get some vehicles and you go through these bases and stuff. Well, glad you had a fun time with it. I think I agree with you on the you know, where it kind of ranks campaign wise.
Yeah.
I think it's fun, but
okay, yeah. And this is also maybe just incorrect on my behalf, but I was saying with my friends that I'm like, they just did these, not the power cores that you can grab and throw. But the ones like, oh, we need a battery. I'm like, they just did this because you had the animation for multiplayer. Like, yeah, let's add this into the single player. So, like, where it's like, oh, you got to take this battery from 5 feet to put it somewhere else. I'm like, yeah, this isn't really gameplay at this point. This is you literally being like, we have the technology. We might as well use it.
Yeah, they didn't make you, like, shepherd it through, like, an area to put it in. It's like, oh, the battery is right over there. Just got to move it. Jeff, are you back? Did you play anything this week?
Can you hear me? Because probably not.
No, we can. Yeah.
How about now? I can't hear you. Yes. Not a single word. Nope. None of it's coming through.
we can hear you now, Jeff.
Like, literally, as you asked me, my connection was, like, in the red. Like, oh, you're fucked. It's fucking up. But it looks like it's okay now. Did I play anything?
Yeah.
Was that, you know, games that you could play with other people. Diablo 4. I've played a lot of that.
Oh, you played some more of that.
I don't really have anything to add, except that I finally got my wife and my friend through the campaign, and now I could finally start earning XP again, because when you are 50 plus trying to earn XP on World Tier 2, not fun.
It's just not. Like, it's just so diminished, isn't it? Like, you're just never going to get there. Oh no. Did we lose Jeff?
Oh. I guess so.
Yep. Seems like we may have again lost Jeff.
I don't know what you heard or not, but
oh, he's back.
That's all right. Am I here? Can you hear
me? Yep, we do hear you again.
Oh, you can't hear me.
No, we can. You can't hear us. Anyway,
This is the best part of the show right here. This is cult quality content.
This is entertainment. Live TV, folks. Live TV.
Jeff just coming in and out going, can you hear me? Can you not hear me? It's like an old Verizon commercial.
I was going to say, it's like the old days of the pandemic. When we heard 3 years ago.
When people were learning how to
yeah, you Zoom. You would think 3 years later that would change, but you still get people, can you hear me? Can you see my screen? All right. You can see if we can see your screen for the most part.
I feel like, though, after all these years of podcasting, we were like light years ahead of those people. Like, we were prepared for this kind of environment.
I mean, I'm not even podcasting. I would say, like, being a gamer, because, like, this started. I'm like, yeah, I got headsets. I know how to. I'm like, yeah. Works like we're going to. I'm like, no, I got headsets. I got good headsets.
I don't want the headsets they have at work. I'm fine. I'm good. Oh,
they're so garbage. And like they overpay for them too.
Oh my gosh. I got a new one recently. This is so video game related. Cause like the one I had, I guess I don't know. It's like the plastic broke off and I just taped it up. And I was like, it's just where you get it. So I'm like works in a replace. I'm like, okay, we're gonna get it. So IT department's gonna be really good. It's like one of those telemarketers one, like the one where it's like it's just the one piece that goes over your head on one side and has like the. I'm like, this is so cheap. Like, I could literally hear how bad the audio quality is compared to the one I bought into the office and used. But like, I just like it just won't stay on my head. But I'm like, this is for work meetings. I don't care. I'm never gonna bring that home. But like, it's such a cheap one. I'm like, oh. And then we paid like 35 bucks for it. I'm like, yeah, we could have gotten much better from Amazon. But you can only order from qualified vendors. And
there you go.
Yeah.
I remember they offered for us that they would buy us monitors when we were at home. And then they showed us the list of monitors that they had available. And I was like, no, thank you. I'll use what I have. I don't need those things.
Yeah.
Of my house.
Well, part of it was I also bought my own because I'm like, I don't want to have anything that's like, because I bought my own wireless mouse because I'm like, one, yes, it's cheap. It's like, it's going to take forever. Two, if I ever leave the job and I'm like, oh, I got all this stuff you bought me back. I'm like, no, this is my monitor. This is my mouse. You folks would not, like, you can reimburse. Like, nope, I'm good. I started my job, 8 months ago now? They're like, okay, we're going to order you a brand new chair because like the chair I had. Like the chair for my desk is one of those, like nobody sat in my position for like a year. Like that chair just kind of, the new one moved about. It's been 8 months. It's still no chair, still no update. I'm like, yes, if you had told me, I bought a new computer chair for myself that should be coming tomorrow for home. Like, yeah, I could have ordered one. We would have been great.
Jeff may or may not be back. He's not sure, so.
I don't know, am I?
We can.
No, you're not. No,
but we can't. How long?
I honestly think it's my router. It's like our internet's been acting up like real bad, and it's an older router at this point, so it's like
time to call Verizon or Comcast to like get us a new router.
I think that's what I said. It's not in my name, but yeah, I feel like that's time.
I like to own my own equipment on that stuff too. So
I typically like used to, but then they kind of like assume that, oh no, we're just going to use ours, you know?
When they make it a pain in the ass too.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, this one has been fine, but I do really think it is the router at this point. And, it's weird though. Cause like, I never have any issues on Xbox ever. You know what? I think it's starting to make sense now. It is the router. The Xbox is wired.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like if I try to, even using like Twitter in my house on the Wi-Fi, it's just like, fuck, like pictures won't load. So, yeah. Anyways.
Time to make a call.
Yeah, Melissa.
Right, you one of those people who do not call customer service?
No, it's not my account.
Not his account.
I would probably be on it at this point. Hey, like, it's kind of annoying.
I don't know who your provider is, but I do know that like they're like Verizon and Comcast are, which were the two that we can get here basically. Both are a pain in the ass. Like, if my wife tries to call, like, they won't talk to her. Yeah. It's under my name.
Oh, it's so annoying when they do stuff like that. Like, I think I told this, because when I started college 20 years ago now, my cell phone at the time, T-Mobile, didn't provide service up to the school. So in order to just like expedite it, my mom gave me her cell phone. She took mine and she got a new number one. You know, New York City's fine. And so I've had Verizon ever since. But it was in my mom's name and I've changed it constantly. And I was still, I call customer service and like, oh, we need to speak to Valerie. I'm like, I have, literally the name, the phone bill's in my name now. It's been in my name for 18 years or something like that now. And it's like, oh, we need to like, I'm like, I am the person you deal with. This is my number. It's in my name. Like, I know she started the account, but
it is now my account. Please talk to me. I am the one that pays you.
It has been my account much longer than it was ever hers. So, yes, I also tell people this is also when I know, like, when I get like certain junk mail, like you get like text messages like, "Oh, I'm with so and so." If it's to me, you got something updated. If it's from my, because I still get some stuff from my mom, and I'm like, I know why you have that name, but it will be 20 years in September. I've had this number. Update your records.
Jeff, anything besides Diablo?
No, I don't think so.
Real quick, I blanked that I had played this, but I replayed Tomb Raider 2013.
Game of the year.
Oh yeah, that's
that a good game one. Is still really, really good. I think it's like the fourth time I've played through it again, and it's so tightly designed. The combat encounters are better than just about anything that's ever been in Uncharted. The story's pretty decent. It has just enough freedom in the environments that like you want to explore and find stuff. Like, it's just really, really well done. I think the only Uncharted game that I think for me comes close is Lost Legacy.
Hell yeah, second best Uncharted game.
I think it fares next to the Tomb Raiders, like the two follow-ups.
I think it might be the best of the three.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I'm playing Rise of the Tomb Raider right now, and it's like they add some stuff that's like, I don't think you needed to add all this crafting shit and like the, it's still, that one still doesn't have like big tombs, so it's like I think I prefer the tighter experience there. The whole reason I'm doing this is somebody was like, hey, I want to do like a like video game, basically kind of like the VG club that do with Javi and Daxter that we do occasionally as a podcast, but somebody was just wanted to do it on like one of the Discord things, and they were like, they picked Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I was like, all right, I could do that. I haven't played Tomb Raider 1 in a while. And then I played that and I was like, I have Rise of the Tomb Raider on my PC and I only have one achievement in that version. I could play through that. Cause that's like a fresh playthrough. So now I'm doing that and I'll play Shadow on PS5. But they wanted to play Shadow and I was like, I want to play all of these now. Cause they're good games. Like Rise and Shadow are still good. Like they're just, I don't think they're as good as Tomb Raider 2013. Shadow, if I remember correctly though, has bigger tombs. Which might,
I think so, but it's still not like, you know, it's not like a Zelda dungeon or something. I don't think so
either. Although I do think it has more of that. I think Shadow, if I remember correctly, has more of that globe trotting feel to it. There's like multiple locations that you go to. That is It's part of the problem with it's not a problem. Like Tomb Raider 2013 is just really good across the board, but the entire thing takes place on that one island. And if I'm remembering Rise correctly, like while there's different biomes, like there's the snow area, and it all takes place in that mountain valley. And then I think three, like there's like three or four different locations that you fly to.
Yes.
So that feels more like a traditional Tomb Raider, like where she was traveling the world. We'll see. Those games, excellently done though. And I hope that the new ones are just as good that Amazon is doing with Crystal Dynamics. Which is weird because Crystal Dynamics is owned by Embracer Group, who they bought for $300 million from Square, along with Tomb Raider, and then they licensed that out to Amazon. So, weird stuff. All right, that seems to be it for what we've been playing. We got some news, though. Major Nelson is leaving Xbox. Not sure if he has already left, or if he was announcing his 2 weeks' notice.
I don't think he said either way.
But... Yeah, it kind of seemed they had set him aside in the last like year or so. Like,
what does he even do?
Like, he's like the face of their like announcement okay. and everything. Like he's a guy. Like he had that channel, like game sales and like heading like interviews with people and that kind of thing.
He's just a free code Friday to me. That's all he was.
But I mean, he had a like he would do some of their video stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
And they had a weekly podcast that he did that I listened to a couple times, but I didn't find it a very wasn't engaging that show.
Wasn't it like at first he was supposed to be like the ambassador of Xbox Live? He's like supposed to show the world this is what Xbox Live is, or am I remembering this wrong?
You might be remembering it correct. I don't remember. Like he's been there for 20 years, so I don't remember what his origin story is. But yeah, I kind of agree, Tony. Yep. He's kind of been pushed to the side recently. I think they tried to push him out even earlier, like when Xbox Wire came out, which was their news source.
Yeah, like MajorNelson.com started like moving to the Xbox Wire site so that you couldn't even get to it anymore.
Yeah. And then people complained about that. And so they just routed. Like if you did MajorNelson.com, because that's where everybody went for sales. Like that's basically what I used for like what's on sale? What's games with gold this week? Because he would have that list on like Monday night. He said he's leaving. He's moving on to new things. So, good luck to him, I guess. It is an end of an era for Xbox, I guess, because he has there for a while.
Say it's the end of an era in general, not just for Xbox, because like it was like him, Reggie, Kaz, like who kind of defined like you know that kind of E3 2000s. 2010 stuff. They were in many ways the faces of their company, and you know, as Reggie retired and now he's gone, so you kind of have those players who like were at E3, who were doing social, who were kind of like the the face, but also kind of like the personification of their company for a period of time. There's a Twitter account CEO Kaz. Reggie was that. I mean, how many Nintendo memes are like, my body is ready, my name is Reggie, I've come to chew bubble gum and play video games or whatever. And yeah, Major Nelson was up there with them. I think they're trying to push Phil Spencer in that role, but I do think the difference is that since Phil's like the president, it's like you don't have that, like, where you're listening to community, it's like you don't have anybody say no to you, so.
Right. And yeah, I wonder who's going to be doing Free Code Friday. Or do they even continue that?
I was going to say, would that continue? I mean, we're getting rid of games with gold, so.
I mean, I never got a free code, so who cares?
I never won either, so.
Did not win either. I do know somebody who did win.
Also, it's not mythical. Like, they did actually give out.
Yeah, this guy Zach that won a Discord with, he won. It's like a Need for Speed game or something like that. Last year at one point. So it does happen. They do. These aren't real people that get codes. But I would respond every week. Never got my name called. So
I would never do it every week. I do it for the games I actually care about sometimes. If I saw it, it was always during the work day. But
was. And it's sometimes the times change. Like sometimes it was like, oh, get it in by 5. Sometimes it was get it in by 3. Like,
yeah.
So you'd sometimes miss out on it. As Earl alluded to, Xbox Live Gold is ending.
RIP.
Being replaced by Game Pass Core.
Okay, so two things. Like, I said that with Major Nelson. This is really the end of an era. Like, yeah. I mean, this is
why they had to kill Major Nelson.
They had to kill him so they could also kill Xbox Live Gold.
Well, yeah, they were getting rid of Xbox Live, so
The face
of Xbox Live is no good anymore. Take him out in the alley and shoot him.
Jesus.
Rest in peace, Major Nelson.
Yeah, so along with that, Games with Gold gone, because, I mean, I guess the gold branding is gone. Not that Games with Gold has been good for the last 18 months or so.
Yeah.
Could be longer than that. It's been weak. Game Pass Core, though, Game Pass Core seems like it's what is the low tier of PlayStation Plus? Essential?
Well, that's what I was going to say when my second point was, like, now we're in that thing again. We were just complaining about PlayStation with Essential, Premium, Extra, whatever. And it's like, yeah, I think that this, because it's Xbox.
Four different collections.
Well, as weird as, like, the tiers might be for PlayStation Plus, I still think that, like, Xbox, the whole thing felt more confused ever since they came up with Game Pass.
Well, yes. Because,
yeah, you're getting this over here and this over here, but fucking 90% of the people are getting both of them anyways, so it's just like,
yes, because I was talking to a friend.
It makes it make more sense, I think. Maybe I don't know if you guys would agree, but it's just like, yeah, now the basic tier of Game Pass is basically what Xbox Live was, but you get, yes, what some Game Pass games.
You kind of get like what Sony had with the Instant Collection.
Yeah,
where it's like you get 25 games that you just have if you have Game Pass Core. Which, you know, works. Even though I assume you'd have it with Game Pass. So, whatever.
Yeah, all those games are part of Game Pass. Although, what I didn't know, and maybe you guys knew this, but I have Ultimate, so it's not something I needed to worry about. But if you have Xbox Game Pass Console, you... Uh-huh. You don't have online multiplayer.
Wait, yes. What?
That's what I was gonna say. Because I guess Tony's surprised by that too. Because I had a friend who's very into video games. We talk about it all the time, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know the difference because I had Xbox Game Pass. I already had Xbox Live." No, Game Pass Ultimate is Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass. There's an Xbox Game Pass, which financially makes no sense whatsoever to get, that exists, which is just a collection of games. But most people got Ultimate because Ultimate just translated when you upped your Xbox Live Gold account to Game Pass. But like, there is a tier of Xbox Game Pass that exists that is just a games collection.
Yes. So there's Core, which is online console multiplayer, has those 25 games, and you get the basically what used to be called Deals with Gold. Then for $1 more, it's Console Game Pass, That is the Game Pass library on console, plus any new games that they release on day one, and the member discounts. But online console multiplayer not included in that tier. So basically, it's like get Ultimate, because otherwise you need to pay $21 for core and console to get online multiplayer. But Ultimate does include the online console multiplayer. Also includes EA Play.
And
PC Game Pass.
PC Game Pass, yeah.
Did we talk about this last week? I think so. The conversion rate?
We did not. It used to be 1-to-1, and they've recently done it 2-to-3.
Or 3-to-2, I think.
3-to-2, yeah. Three
months of live is
yes,
2 months.
Translates to 2 months.
Game Pass Ultimate. So, yes. So that's another thing if you want to just back up. Because, again, mine goes through, I want to say, summer of 2025.
So you're good.
Yes, for a bit. Yeah, I mean, I paid for Game Pass twice in my life so far. It was when I got it in 2020, because again, everybody, like, you do that trick where you get you can find Xbox Live discounted to get 3 years of that, and then like, oh, here's a dollar deal, and it converted all to Game Pass Ultimate, which is why, again, a lot of people didn't realize there's a Game Pass tier that is just the games, and it's just the console. You wouldn't get the PC version, because most people just upgrade. Because again, Live has been a consistent in this industry for 22 years now. It is the first, and I would say the best online service in the console space. I don't think Sony and Nintendo have come close to it yet. So,
no. And in terms of like stability for that online multiplayer voice chat, I think it is still the best. So those core games, I'll run them down real quick. Among Us, Descenders, Dishonored 2, Doom Eternal, Fable Anniversary, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Grounded, Halo 5, Halo Wars 2, Hellblade, Human Fall Flat, Inside, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Psychonauts 2, State of Decay 2, and Elder Scrolls Online. It's a decent list of 25. Has some good games in there.
Great. If you don't like it, get the better.
Yeah. I mean, basically, that really should just get Ultimate.
Just get like, fucking son of a bitch.
Get Ultimate. You get EA Play. You get the discounts on EA games. You get PC Game Pass. And you get everything in the library. So that is Game Pass. And then there was a bunch of merger news that happened right before we ended last week. We talked about how we were waiting for the injunction ruling on the appeal from the FTC, that was denied.
Shocker.
as we expected, it was denied. Shortly after that, the CMA said that they were going to negotiate with Microsoft and Activision. There was a hearing on Monday in the UK, the CAT Tribunal, which is competition and trade or something. It's the overseer of the CMA. The judge for that basically was like, I'm not just canceling this just to cancel your ruling. I need to know that you actually want to work together to come to a solution that works for UK consumers. And they both agreed that that they would. Part of that deal, I guess, is that Microsoft renegotiated, extended the timeline with Activision. It was supposed to close on the 18th. It is now to the end of October, I believe. But with some hefty hefty monetary fines if they don't seal this. If it is not sealed by August 29th, the backout fee jumps to $4.5 billion.
Oh, God.
And then I think it moves up to 5.5 or 6 if it is not closed by the end of October. So basically, Microsoft has huge incentive to close this deal. And I think it'll be closed in August. That's Michael Pachter was out there saying he expects it to close in August. The CMA just needed some time to, basically they're trying to save face.
Yeah.
At this point, come up with some sort of remedy for Microsoft to abide by, and then they'll allow the deal to go through. And Sony also seems to have conceded that this is happening, and they signed a 10-year deal for Call of Duty. The thing here, though, that kind of caught my eye is that other Activision franchises were not included in that deal. They were in the original deal that Microsoft offered back before when they were hearing with the CMA originally. Sony basically fucked themselves out of making sure that stuff stays on their system. They were trying to negotiate to get Bethesda games included in the Activision deal.
What?
Yeah, they wanted to have, you know, they wanted to make sure that Elder Scrolls 6 and Starfield could come to PlayStation, and Microsoft was like, that's not what this deal is about currently. Like, and so Sony was weird with it, and they only ended up getting Call of Duty out of that. So, and we don't know what the actual terms of it are, but people, analysts like Pachter and some of those guys were also saying that it is possible that this deal with Sony negates the Call of Duty marketing deal through 2025. So, I don't know if that means we'll see Call of Duty immediately on Game Pass, or what. But,
that would kind of suck. I mean, not suck, and that would be odd for Sony to give that up, just to confirm that they'd keep it, I guess.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know.
But those things, I mean, it. When we talked last week, it seemed like things were moving very, very fast. They have slowed just a little bit, but I think we are nearing the end of all this merger talk. It seems like it is going to go through regardless. The FTC will have their trial in August. But it does not seem like anything there is going to end up overturning this deal. So the FTC's arguments were just wonky to start with. So,
and that had to be the best they could do. So it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so their arguments were so weird, and the fact that the judge called them out on basically holding water for Sony instead of for consumers, when I think we've all discussed that there are things that the FTC could have said that were like, this is why it is bad for consumers, but they chose to go with Nintendo doesn't make consoles, and this is going to hurt Sony instead. So, like, it's a weird argument. Anything else you guys catch this week, news-wise? That, I think that was everything that kind of popped up for me.
No, yeah, I don't think so. I can't
think of anything.
Yeah, it was...
The PlayStation 5.
Oh.
The Spider-Man 2 PlayStation 5 was revealed today.
Yeah, how can we make the system uglier?
I actually like it. It's like it's been taken over by Venom. That's actually really cool looking. That is going to be the one I'm probably going to get.
Did I hear that they're also selling that as like just the faceplates?
Yeah.
Which I thought the controller looks nice.
Yeah.
If I do the, I don't know if I do the plates, but.
Do the plate. When you folks say it that way, I realize it's not as fancy because it's not the full system. You can just replace
it. Yeah, you can just pull them off. They sell third-party plates now. Did they show more of the game?
They showed a story trailer, which I have not watched yet. Because it's a very weird San Diego Comic-Con because all of the people can't be there. So, I mean, not all the people, like the people, but like the people you usually pay attention to Comic-Con for, which is a shame, like the movies and TV shows can't go to promote their stuff. So like a lot of that, like Saturday Hall H craziness isn't really there this year. I think we talked about EA announcing showcasing Sports FC, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then I got nothing. It was a very quiet week.
Yeah, I was looking through my normal news source, and it's just like a bunch of nonsense.
I mean, it's a mobile game. They focus into that. I guess not.
We can add Gundam Evolution as another game being killed this year, though.
Ooh, always fun.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know either. Probably why it's being killed.
I mean, I know what Gundam is. It's those like giant
mechs.
But that game came out last year, and Namco Bandai is already killing it. So must have been doing wonderful. All right, well, I'm going to wrap it there. Let Jeff go get a beer and get ready for Pikmin.
Oh, yeah.
But next week's the big week. I think Chris and I will be masochists once again to check out the first episode of Twisted Metal, which is out next Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to watch that before we record.
You guys are going to be right on top of that one.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch it as much as I watched the Halo show.
I watched all of the Halo show. I don't know if I will make it all the way through. I have an affinity for Halo that I don't think I have for Twisted Metal. So Twisted Metal better be better than the Halo show.
I'm looking for reviews. I haven't seen any yet, so I guess we'll get it closer.
Yeah, so I guess we'll have Twisted Metal, we'll have Pikmin. I think are all of us getting Pikmin?
I'm not getting it right away, I think.
Come on, Earl.
Earl. We should judge Earl.
That's fair.
Well, we're gonna play a little bit more Exoprimal. Jeff's probably gonna play more Diablo.
Oh yeah.
We're
in it now. We are in it, baby. I don't know if you guys. I don't know if you guys heard anything I was saying about that. But
just that it's really hard to level after 50 if you are playing with people that are in tier 2.
Yeah, so I got them both in the tier 3. So now we could that means we're post game. So it's no more of okay, are we all lined up in the campaign? It's just like, hey, let's go kill some dungeons. So that'll be fun to finally do. So
are you still just playing one character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really want to I want to max him. I guess it gets kind of boring because you're not really doing anything with your skill tree after a certain point, but I just want to do it. And then I will do the other. I'll end up playing through all the classes at some point.
I was just wondering how quick it is to level after the campaign. So yeah, I know you can skip the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if I go, like if I finish it as my rogue, like how long will it take for me to
I think it might just be the kind of same pace. It's just you don't have to play through the campaign. You could just go, you know, fuck around. I don't know. I'm curious about that as well. I guess, you know, I will find that out someday.
Well, especially if the real game is happening at tier 3, like, and you're not going to start your character.
Yeah, could you? Like,
yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing you probably could, but I'm guessing it would also be very hard. I don't know. I'm very curious how that all will feel, but in the meantime, I'm just, you know, taking my badass character. I want to get to tier 4, so working on that.
All right, well, we'll be back with Diablo, Pikmin, Twisted Metal, probably some other stuff, more Jagged Alliance. I'm sure Tony's going to play more of that. Yeah, we will have stuff. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.